pray with me. Holy God, we thank you for your word that we have heard, a familiar word. And we pray that we might hear it with ears of faith, that we might hear your truth in it for us, for each one of us, whatever that truth is that we need to hear. And we pray that you will give us the heart and the strength and the will to follow it. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Byron Sherwin wrote a book, Why Be Good? And in this book, he sarcastically recalls, once I was browsing in a bookstore when I saw a huge volume with an intriguing title, Wall Street Ethics. I opened it eagerly, only to find that each of its 100 pages were blank. Now, some people who read this were skeptical when it came out in his book, so they did a little research. And it turned out the book is real. It's entitled The Complete Book of Wall Street Ethics by J. L. Walker and was published by William Morrow in April of 1987. One reviewer wrote about the book, if you are not familiar with this book, it is a joke. And it's a pretty good one. The pages are all blank. Today, after so many new Wall Street scandals, it probably needs to be updated with a new edition with new blank pages added. I will come back to that story. But that gets us into the story about Nicodemus today, as we gather on this second Sunday of Lent. It's a familiar story to all of us. The Pharisee Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the night. Now, we have to remember that the Gospel of John, the author of this Gospel, uses words very symbolically. That you can't always use them or trust them as literal thoughts. A lot of it is symbolic. So what this is suggesting is that Nicodemus, while he may be coming at night, is also coming in a dark night of his soul. He has heard of this Jesus. Now remember, he's a Pharisee. He's one of the leaders of the Jewish faith in the synagogue. He's heard of this Jesus, and he doesn't know what to make of him. We can imagine it's kept him awake at night trying to figure this out. Do I listen to this guy? Do I challenge this guy? Is he a fraud? Is he a charlatan? And finally, he's had enough sleepless nights. He decides to bite the bullet and he goes and talks to Jesus. Now, Nicodemus talks to Jesus, but he doesn't get it. He hears him, but he doesn't get it. He can only think of Jesus as being literal when he talks about being born again. I think that's something only a man can think. I mean, I think no woman would ask to go through a rebirth. Jesus is talking about a spiritual rebirth. That's what being born from above means. However, when your faith is couched in keeping laws, it's hard to imagine spiritual rebirth. It's foreign to the way of thinking. Nicodemus could not hear what Jesus was saying. The spiritual rebirth is a recognition that God is the source of life. Not us, not the laws, God. It is being connected to God. And it's not an all at one moment thing like so many people think when they say that they're born again. All of a sudden they had that one flash of lightning. Or as Alice McKenzie writes in a piece entitled Nicodemus' Non-Decision in a blog on Pathos.com, shares this in the commentary on this passage. I was in the waiting area at a local discount tire store last week, waiting for my new tires to be put on my car. I picked up a women's magazine and was intently reading an article called How to Supercharge Your Metabolism. I became vaguely aware that someone had sat down in the chair next to mine. This seemed odd because I was in the middle of a row of empty chairs. I like my personal space while I'm waiting for my tires. And then a leaflet was put in front of my face with the heading, How to Be Born Again. And I heard a man's voice ask, Wouldn't you like to read something of more eternal significance than this magazine? Have you been born again? And I looked into the face of an earnest man in his mid-40s who now sat next to me looking at me expectantly. When I didn't reply immediately, he asked, Well, have you? I said, I'm glad you asked that question. I've been reflecting on Jesus' word to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and I don't think Jesus means born again as if it was some emotional lightning strike and then once and then it's over. We speak of our salvation in past tense, like that's done, and now that I've checked that off my to-do list. I think being born again calls for our participation, and I think it's a lifelong process. At that, the man shook his head as to say, Geez, lady, it's a yes or no question. And he took the tract back and moved on. According to the Gospel of John, according to Alice, that is a gradual journey from night to day, from darkness to light. It is a daily pilgrimage from belief as reciting a creed to a belief as opening the door to our soul. Letting Jesus in. It's a daily process of flipping the card on the door that says, God, please do not disturb, to please come in and help us clean out our room. You see, we often think that being born again, eternal life, is about getting into heaven. That place that we go, or wherever it is, or whatever it is, after we die. But as we learned in our Bible study on this gospel, in the Gospel of John, eternal life is in this life. It starts in this life. It's most important in this life. It's a process of taking God into the very core of our lives, of our being, and living out of that core. The Christian author Frederick Buechner speaks of it this way. When you are with somebody that you love, you have little sense of the passage of time. And you also have, in the fullest sense of the phrase, a good time. When you are with God, you have something like the same experience. The biblical term for experience is eternal life. Another is heaven. What does it mean to be with God? It doesn't mean you have to be thinking about being with God or religious or sitting in a church or saying your prayers, though it might mean any or all of these. It doesn't even mean you have to believe in God. Because remember, even Abraham didn't believe in God when God called him to go forth. In other words, to live eternal life in the full and final sense is to be with God as Christ is with him. And with each other, as Christ is with us. Can you begin to hear what God is saying now? In my opening story, I talked about the Wall Street Ethics book as being blank. In the words of Jesus to Nicodemus, we get the sense that really the book of our life should be blank because it's not about us. It's about God, or at least, if it's not blank, each page should have God, 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 God. It would be the most boring book you might have ever read. It would mean that our lives are centered on God. This is what we strive for. This is why we go to church. This is why we help people in need. This is why we stand up for people being oppressed. Now, the truth is, we're human. And we will never get it totally right. Not in this life, anyway. And that's where the grace of Christ comes in. Eternal life is to so live life that we have this sense of enjoying God all the time, in good times and difficult times. It does not take away the difficult times. But in living with Christ and God at our core, we can persevere because God is with us. I've known people who suffer, and they begin to question God's love, God's presence. And I want to say to them, you know, Jesus was the Son of God, God's Son. And look where he ended up, nailed to a cross. Even after he had prayed to God that he might not have to go to the cross. And yet, he was so centered on God that while he was on the cross, he continued to love and share mercy with the people who put him there. The people who loved him. He turned to his mother. He turned his mother over to the care of the beloved disciple. He offered paradise to the thief who was crucified with him. And he was able to forgive those who had put him on the cross. Do you hear what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus? What God is saying to us? It's not about getting into heaven as someplace after this life. But it's about being so filled with God that we feel we are living eternally with God now. That nothing can separate us from God, as Paul writes in the 8th chapter of the book to Rome. Nothing can separate us from God, not even death. This is the spiritual life that Jesus is challenging Nicodemus to see, to experience, to accept. This is the spiritual life that Jesus is challenging us to live, to find God at the very core of our being. Do you hear him? Do you hear him? Amen.